The European Parliament votes this morning on what could be a fundamental change in how the internet handles copyright. This is the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. The European Parliament will either greenlight or send back a raft of measures that deal with material on the internet. Article 13 in particular requires sites to filter all copyrighted material. It's been opposed by influential tech leaders who signed a letter calling it an imminent threat to the future of the internet. The BBC's Rory Ketlin-Jones has more.
This is overall a sweeping change to the copyright rules in Europe to make it fit for the digital era. And it is Article 13 that has proved most controversial. Any site or platform that encourages users to upload content, whether that's text or audio or video, should have in place technology to make sure that they're not uploading unauthorized copyright material, a track by Beyonce, a goal from the World Cup maybe. And the music industry in particular is very exercised about this, seeing it as part of a long-running battle with the internet giants in particular, who they feel are living off their content without paying artists properly.
Isn't most of the internet essentially all of us sharing material that does belong to other people? How on earth would you actually filter this stuff?
You're not allowed to take somebody's music and stick it on your site without permission. And in fact, YouTube has already got a very sophisticated content tracking system which takes down that material. I tried to put some football that I'd shot on my phone on YouTube a few years back and it was immediately taken down. So there are systems there. What this envisages is those systems being built in by law to every site, big or small.
It sounds like it might be a good thing. Why is it so controversial?
Well, those who oppose it say this could have a chilling effect on self-expression because the technology would be expensive and it might take a kind of safety-first attitude. Both the technology and the smaller companies who are frightened of being sued might just say, oh, well, it's cheaper just to block an awful lot rather than stuff that we know is not allowed.
Rory Ketlin-Jones, let's do the numbers. Global markets are mixed as investors await U.S. tariffs on $34 billion worth of Chinese goods, expected to go into effect tomorrow. Shares in Asia closed lower, while European indexes are trading in positive territory. Now, Britain's Prime Minister finds herself between a rock and a hard place. Those in her party who support Brexit don't want the UK to collect customs duties for the EU after it leaves the bloc. But more and more British businesses are warning that unless she can come up with a frictionless system, like now, then they won't invest. The latest warning comes from Jaguar Land Rover. The carmaker says a bad Brexit deal would hurt its profits and plans to invest more than $100 billion in its British operations. So what can Theresa May expect as she heads to Germany today to discuss her latest proposal? The BBC's Jenny Hill reports from Berlin.
Mrs. May is on a mission to reassure her European allies. But talks earlier this week with the Dutch Prime Minister did little to allay concern over the slow pace of Brexit negotiations. And few in Berlin expect much more from today's meeting with Angela Merkel. German business and industry leaders are particularly worried about the impact of an important trading partner crashing out of the EU with no deal in place. It's thought that Mrs. May might run an as yet unpublished proposal for a post-Brexit customs arrangement past Mrs. Merkel before it's discussed at a meeting of British ministers tomorrow. She might not find the German Chancellor on sympathetic form. Mrs. Merkel, herself preoccupied with a domestic row over migration, has repeatedly warned Britain that it can't cherry-pick the terms of its exit.
Jenny Hill, dig into your pockets and chances are there's no change jingling in there. From Russia to Canada to China, transactions are increasingly electronic. So what happens to those who rely on that spare change? The homeless, street musicians, or buskers, as they're called in Britain, and millions of others who have no access to banking. The BBC's Maddie Savage reports from Stockholm, Sweden, a country fast becoming cashless.
That was Michael Goy, a 36-year-old musician who regularly busks in different parts of Stockholm. First of all, Michael, Sweden is the most cashless society in the world, and there are lots of different cash-free payment options here. But the most popular one for small independent street sellers is Swish, approved by all of the major banks here. And it essentially enables people to transfer money by typing in a phone number. More than half the Swedish population have this app on their phone. So you were a busker before Swish came in, and you are now. How's it changed things for you?
I get less contributions, I think, because people don't have cash on them. But the contributions I do get with Swish tend to be bigger, I would say.
Do you like using Swish?
I think it's a little bit boring because you don't see the people who give the contributions. So you just look at your phone later. So it's kind of unpersonal.
Thanks very much, Michael. Well, let's get a sense now of what potential donors think about this shift towards a more cashless society.
My name is Anton, and I currently work at a printing factory. When I have spare change around, I'm fine with giving that away to homeless people or people who need money. But when it's Swish, since it's directly from your bank account, it feels more like an expense.
What about you? Have you ever used Swish to give money to charity?
No, not for charity. But I think it's likely that you give less for charity when you have Swish. Yeah, it's sad. I don't have coins. I don't have cash.
I haven't done it yet, but I would consider doing it if I don't have any cash on me.
So from here in Stockholm, it seems like the switch towards a more cashless society is having a mixed impact when it comes to donations. This is just one part of a much bigger debate about the speed at which things are changing here. There are also growing concerns about data protection and hacking, and about access to cash. Many banks have stopped handling it altogether, and there are worries that it's causing problems for the elderly, asylum seekers, and other vulnerable groups, the same people that many Swedish charities are so busy seeking cashless donations for.
Maddie Savage. Finally, an American sculptor has been awarded $3.5 million in damages after the U.S. Postal Service accidentally printed an image of his Statue of Liberty on its stamps. Robert Davidson gave his Las Vegas statue softer features, inspired by his mother-in-law. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.